This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Internet world, West Alabama. How we doing today on this Friday? It is The Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. You guys are hanging out with us on the Bama Central YouTube channel today. Hope you guys are having a great week. You are almost to football season, as next week is SEC Media Day. So we are live in the Derry Daniels State Farm Studios right here off of McFarland Boulevard. You can find us just past the Tiger Rock and Rustic Rehab to the left. You want to jump on in with us on the comment section at 205-758-3391. You can leave us a voicemail at 205-462-7340, extension 800. That other number I was rattling off is Derek Daniels State Farm's number, 205-758-3391. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there. Welcome on in. Jump on into the program. We're going to have a fun show today. Hopefully a fun show today. It is the last show before SEC Media Days gets kicked off. So we will be giving you a little preseason all SEC predictions. We're going to look at some of our other colleagues' predictions and cohorts' predictions, and we'll make some of our own. And then at about 8:45, about 30 minutes from now, we will be joined by Zach Nagy, LSU Tigers on SI, to do Know Your Enemy. We kind of got a little derailed with some of our Know Your Enemy segments. We are going to get the LSU Tigers on deck today. Garrett Nussmeier, the Frightened Brian Kelly's Will Weeks, and them boys. So we'll hear about LSU at about 8:45. With all that, you can see us right there on the Bama Central YouTube channel. You can see us on Facebook. We are both matching today, wearing shirts. Well, yeah, we coordinated this way. Our August 1st t-shirts came in, so we wanted to show those off. You guys can let me know if you want to get one of these t-shirts. We are parodying, we're trolling, we're getting after Hugh Freeze, his comments about everything changing in the recruiting trail on August 1st. Now, maybe if you're an Auburn fan, just wait, and when things do change, you can buy the shirts and say, look, yeah, we told you, you were right. You know, Hugh Freeze was right.
Corner of the market here.
Right, exactly. Both ends. Now, I think I might be making some in crimson and white, and I might be making some in red and black for our Alabama and Georgia fan friends, obviously the Auburn rivals. But I figured the Auburn navy blue and orange was the first place to go there. So, Mason, I hope your shirt is comfortable. And you follow Mason Woods at MAWoods_ on the Twitter machine. And I hope you're having a great day, sir.
Oh, yeah, doing good this morning, doing good. Getting ready for August 1st when it will all change. The entire scope of recruiting as we know it is going to shift. The entire dynamic as we have seen it unfold before us is going to completely change on August 1st, and the Auburn Tigers will reign supreme. At least that's what they'd have you believe.
They're going to jump into the top 10 real quick.
I mean, you know, I will say to their to John Cohen and Hugh Freeze's credit, I think last year, maybe 2 years ago, Auburn was hovering around the like 50, 55, 60 range, and then within 3 days, we're right into the top 10 after landing us, you know, after going on a hot streak, and you know, a couple years ago. So it definitely can happen. It's not like unfeasible to think that Auburn goes on some kind of run, but I don't believe that there is much support from that from the administration, from the boosters, from the fans, from really anybody that you need the support from there.
So we will watch that. We'll find out what happens on August 1st, but we want to just jump right into SEC Media Day. Yesterday, we pseudo-ranked one through about eight, our order of finish. Once you get past 9-10, you're all kind of in the bottom dwellers. You're all in the cellar, and it doesn't quite matter. I think Mississippi State, you wanted to go, I think Mississippi State's going to be 16. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, not probably. I think I'm going to give it to Kentucky.
Ooh, okay. I like that too.
I'll give it to Kentucky.
I am not a Mark Stoops guy.
Yeah, I'm going to give it to them. It feels like, and you know, admittedly, I think Kentucky got one decent recruit last week, flipping a guy from Auburn. I don't know what their rest of their class looks like, so I don't know if they've been doing well one way or the other, but it seems like Mark Stoops has just been completely checked out in Lexington for 2 years now, ever since they had that one good season with Benny Snell, basically.
once NIL has really hit, he's like, dang it. I don't have a good answer here.
Yeah, it's just, I think he's just, he knows that they're probably not going to fire him there because he's the best coach they've had in I don't know how long, ever.
Well, he had a pretty big buyout for a while, but I think it's almost up.
Maybe he will get fired then.
Yeah, I think
maybe he'll be coaching for his job this year, and we see a scorned Kentucky Wildcats.
No, we won't. They're not going to be any good at all.
Yeah, that's who I'd pick to take the bottom of the league. I don't think Mississippi State is going to be good, but I weirdly have just somewhat a bit of higher hopes for them than I do Kentucky.
Jeff Lebby, let's go. Well, Mason, why don't we start right from the top? We're going to do SEC preseason prediction, like all SEC, because I've got to make my ballot next week. Mm-hmm. And so, Mason, this is your chance to influence me. Theo is so excited about it. Theo's like, I get to vote on the I say, yeah, man, it's part of it.
Makes you feel like you're a part of something.
Yeah.
You know, it really like makes you feel like you're a part of the team.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And every year you get somebody who's voting Vanderbilt number one, and you get the articles about, we need to revoke people's votes. Those people are just joking because it's not that serious.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like the votes really matter that much anyway. They have no bearing on what happened throughout the season.
So let's get right into it with the quarterbacks. I think I get to rank four quarterbacks. So looking at a couple of our counterparts, Phil Steele has his. Chris Walsh, our boss, wrote his up as well. I think I get to rank four quarterbacks. Chris went three, but we get to rank three. Let's just make it a group of four. But you got to tier them. You got to order them, and you're gonna have to talk a lot of nice things about somebody else to get me to go anywhere other than Lenora Sellers, Arch Manning, and then I'm kind of open to interpretation at three and four. DJ Lagway probably. So let's get right into quarterbacks. These are kind of, yeah. Lenoris 1, Arch 2, what are we feeling about quarterbacks? What's Mason Wood's temperature check, Garrett? Nussmeier 3 and 4, John Mateer.
Yeah, I mean, I will continue with my campaign of I'm not going to rank Arch Manning that high. I'm not going to rank any of these quarterbacks that we have not seen anything from.
Ty Simpson 1.
Yeah, no, can't do that. I think I feel good about Lenoris 1. I think probably Nussmeier 2. And that three spot, maybe Mateer. I think it's probably between Mateer and Lagway there. I think you saw a lot of good from Lagway last year. You did see some inconsistency, though. I think, you know.
Freshman.
Yeah, I think that season, people have gone a bit blind over the last 2-3 months to some of the bad parts of, like, he did some bad things. He threw some bad interceptions, made some bad throws, made some bad reads in games and big moments and things. I understand he was electrifying at the peak, but the valleys were also pretty bad. So, you know, I'd probably feel a little better going with somebody other than him there, but I just don't know that the level of competition necessarily matches up with what John Mateer was facing last season compared to what he's going to be facing this year. So that also gives me a little, a little bit of wariness there of picking him, but I'd probably pick one of those two.
Okay. I like that. I like your reasoning there. I'll settle in. Lenoris 1, Arch 2. Give me Garrett Nussmeier 3 and DJ Lagway 4. With Ty Simpson sitting right there at my fit, ready to knife these guys in the back one by one, and become number one at the end.
I hope so.
All right, so there we go. I think that it's going to be a lot of fun to hear from these quarterbacks. A lot of them will be in Atlanta. Yeah, you know, we did our preseason predictions for who Alabama is going to take last week or three or four days ago. Mm-hmm. What do you think though about no Ty Simpson?
I mean, I'm not like shocked. I thought maybe he would be there, but also I'm not that surprised considering he's not necessarily been in the media and everything. You know, he hasn't been the starting quarterback yet. It's not like it's a returning starter that you're throwing out there. It's a new guy that, if the coaching staff would have you believe it, is still in a quarterback competition currently. So, you know, I think sending him would only confirm that, all right, he is the starter, and they maybe don't want to do that yet.
Absolutely. I was surprised they picked Caden Proctor. We nailed pretty much Tim Keenan and Deontay Lawson, but I was a little surprised with Caden Proctor pick. You know, I had all my money on Jeremy Bernard being one of the picks, and that didn't happen. Caden Proctor, starting left tackle, number 2 overall NFL draft pick, 3 overall draft pick next year.
I think it's a good pick.
Okay. Good pick. So we'll hear from those Alabama guys next Wednesday, and I am hopeful. All signs are good that I'll speak to Coach DeBoer next week, and I'll speak to a couple of these players, maybe 3, maybe all 3, maybe we get 2 out of 3, but I think I'll get at least 1 of the 3 players. I like Deontay a lot. I like Tim Keenan a lot. I've had good interactions with those guys already, so that would be great. Let's keep going here. Moving on down the list. Running backs. You got a lot of good running backs in this league. Golly, it's just going to be depending on what you like. Do you like Quintravion Weisner from Texas? Do you like Caden Durham? Are you a Jaden Ball fella from Florida? I am. Are you a Nate Frazier fella? I definitely am. Le'Veon Moss, Amari Daniels from Texas A&M, Davon Booth. You've also got newcomers to the league. Ahmad Hardy. You've got Jaden Ott. And you cannot forget about our guys. You can't forget about Jam Miller and Richard Young. So a lot of good running backs in the SEC. I believe that you get to rank 2 for every
every tier.
Right. Since it was a year ago, things get lost on me. I think you get to rank 2 first team, 2 second team, 2 third team. We so 6 total.
Okay. 2, 4, we only have a third team. We don't have a fourth team. Okay.
Yeah, I think we went to 4 for quarterbacks just for the sake of conversation.
Got you. I think there's a lot of second and third round picks in the SEC at the running back position. There's a lot of really good players in the SEC. I feel really good about a lot of these guys. I really like the 2 newcomers that you mentioned, and Jaden Ott and Ahmad Hardy. Ahmad Hardy, look at what he did last year at a smaller school, absolutely dominant, you know, stepping up to a bigger stage. But I think he is going to be able to take on that role and probably do a pretty good job at Missouri. And then Jaden Ott was like electric at Cal last year.
H-O-T-T, to go.
He was great. Super fast, super athletic, you know, gets to the outside, and he is gone. So I think he will bring a good dynamic to Oklahoma's offense, especially with them wanting to spread it around a little more, having John Mateer there. And then, you know, the guys that have been here, Caden Durham at LSU, Le'Veon Moss, Texas A&M, both those guys are really good. It's just the SEC is very, very deep at the running back position. It's hard for me to rank these guys. So I think a lot of them are kind of just, we're grasping at straws here to, you know, put one over the other.
Depends on how Georgia uses the running backs this year, but I think Nate Frazier is one of the best backs in this league. Gonna be a rising sophomore. I had his stats right. Let's see right there. Nope, that's Jaden Ball. Let's see. Nate Frazier is a little bit lower on this list right there. Okay, yeah. He took 133 carries last year, 671 yards, 8 touchdowns. Also had 12 receptions out of the backfield for 85 yards. Playing basically the second to Etienne. Trevor?
Yeah.
Travis?
Trevor.
There we go. Playing the second man to Etienne. I think that Nate Frazier is a really special player. I think Caden Durham is a really special player from LSU. Last year, 140 carries, 753, 6 touchdowns, taking 260 yards out of the backfield in 28 receptions and 2 more touchdowns. So I think I'm probably going to go with those 2 guys first. I think I'm going to go Jaden Ball as my 3rd, the Florida running back. Florida running back, 673 yards last year, 7 touchdowns. 4 catches, 33 yards, and a touchdown as well. So 8 total times to the end zone. I like Jaden Ball, and I like Jaden Ott right here. So there goes my second team.
My Jaden tier.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Jaden, back-to-back, Jaden squared for the second team. I like Jam Miller to lead off my – well, yeah, I like Jam to lead off my 3rd because I think that Alabama's going to get back to a traditional running game. I think he's gonna have a much better year than he did last year. And lastly, goodness gracious, give me Le'Veon Moss. Give me Le'Veon Moss, 765 last year, 10 touchdowns, 10 catches for another 141 out of the backfield. So, yeah, there's going to be my 6 right there next week in Atlanta.
I like those picks. I think you could, any of the guys that we have mentioned, I think could fall into these category. You know, for the Alabama guys specifically, third team is probably where they're going to top out at, unfortunately, just because I think they're going to be splitting a lot and they're not going to maybe get the stats that they need to get to that first team level. But I feel good about, you know, one of them at least making one of the teams.
So wide receiver becomes pretty easy for the casual fan. You get what?
Brian Williams, Isaiah Horton, Jeremy Bernard. That's your three wide receivers.
Yeah, and your next one's Cole Adams, Latsia Brooks, and Derek Meadows. Yeah,
there we go. There's your second team.
Boom, we're done.
I don't think it's that crazy to say that we could have two of the three first team wide receivers.
Okay. I'm not against you. I mean, you take us back 3-4 weeks ago when I said you might have 3 1,000-yard sure. receivers if it gets spread around that much. I think two is a much safer bet. But you look right here. I mean, it's Ryan Williams, it's Cam Coleman. They're the obvious two.
Sure.
And then you've got a pretty big group of guys that you could choose from.
Yeah.
You could choose Eric Singleton to go back-to-back Auburn. You can go Kevin Coleman, Missouri, Ryan Wingo, Texas. That's probably who I'm really going to put right there. Aaron Anderson, LSU, little Aaron Anderson, Caden Lee, Eugene Wilson from Florida, Caden Lee from Ole Miss. You got Jeremy Bernard, Deion Burks from Oklahoma, Casey.
Ooh, I know who I'm picking.
Casey Concepcion, Zachariah Branch.
yeah.
Newcomer of the year, Zachariah Branch, opens up, unlocks the offense, actually makes Gunnar Stockton look like a top three quarterback.
I don't know that he's going to make him look that good, but he's going to make him look competent. And
you just got to get it to Branch's hands.
Yes, I think I'd probably throw him in that as the third receiver there. I think you nailed it with Ryan Williams, Cam Coleman being your 1A and 1B basically of the SEC, and if we're talking receivers. And then it's, you know, it's a relatively wide gap, I think, to that third spot, but Zachariah Branch could very easily play himself right up into that elite tier, and I think he will.
Yeah. Yeah, give me Ryan Williams, give me Ryan Williams, give me Cam Coleman, and I'll go with you. I'll go Zachariah Branch. Ryan Wingo leads my second team.
I think Jeremy Bernard could make the first team, though. I'm expecting a big year from Jeremy Bernard.
So I'll put him solidly on my second team.
Yeah, I like that.
And then I'm putting Deion Burks on there as well, Oklahoma guy. Didn't play as much last year. I mean, Oklahoma had every receiver hurt at some point.
Every player, it seemed like.
And then we'll go Eugene Wilson leading the third team.
I like Casey Concepcion.
I do too. Yeah. So those and guys. And Aaron Anderson. Singleton.
Oh, you like Aaron Anderson? Little Aaron Anderson.
Oh, man.
I like Eric Singleton, I think. You saw what he did at Georgia Tech. It was pretty impressive. And, you know, while I'm not high on this year's Auburn team, I imagine they'll be trying to get the ball in his hands.
Go Eagle! What damn Eagle. The tight end, we move right on.
This is one easy answer.
Absolutely. It's Eli Stowers and it's everybody else.
Yes. Without a doubt. Eli Stowers is he the best tight end in the country, probably?
I would agree.
I think so.
Yeah, and the other part, Diego probably loves him.
Like, yeah, loves him.
I
need some NFL team. You know, obviously Eli Stowers, first round draft pick. You take him, you get your first, and then you throw a 6th round pick at Diego Pavia just to reunite him.
Reunited and it feels so good. Okay.
Diego Pavia is a guy you just want to get in your locker room.
And then pretty much everybody's consensus on Jack Injuries being your third or your second tight end out of Texas. But what's the young man's from Missouri's name that is not listed on any of these sheets? That okay, I'm gonna see it. Priestcorn, right? Caden Priestcorn. No, Brett Norfleet. Priestcorn was the Ole Miss guy who's already gone. Brett Norfleet got hurt a lot last year, but Joey Van Zimmeren loves him. And if Joey loves him, I do too.
I tend to agree with Joey's opinions on things.
So we'll go Stowers 1, Jack Injuries 2, and I'll go off the board and take Brett Norfleet as my third tight end. Sorry to Josh Cuevas.
Eli Stowers 1, definitely. I think I like Injuries at 2. That third spot is where we're having the debate here. I'm seeing Miles Kitzelman get thrown out, which I don't necessarily love.
You know, when he gets up there, I'm going to ask him all kinds of Alabama questions. Miles, why'd you leave the Crimson Tide? How did that year go at Alabama? What made you decide to go to state? Like all these, you just try to.
I'll throw Cuevas as my third team. I think Cuevas is a good year. I don't think he's going to be the feature guy by any means in this offense, but I think he has a good season. They're going to be throwing the ball around a little more efficiently than they were.
Okay, we got to keep it moving here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Center is easy for me, and it's Parker Brailsford and no one else.
I would agree with that.
You got Jack Slaughter probably locking in at your number two spot. I like what Phil Steele has here, basically Slaughter two, and I'm not going to get into the third and fourth team centers here.
Not going to act like I know enough about them to do that.
Exactly. So into the offensive line, you got lots of great options, but Caden Proctor is leading your options. You got Caden Green as well from Missouri leading your options. I think Jaden Roberts is probably like, I'm just going to put Roberts up there as well.
I would agree with that.
I'm going to probably put Lance Hurd up there from Tennessee. Ernest Green with the experience from Georgia. You've got what are these names do we like? Armani Reed Adams from Texas A&M. We like him. Austin Barber from Florida. I do like him as well. So lots of great offensive linemen. But if I have to go with four for my first team, I'm going Caden Proctor. I'm going Caden Proctor, Ernest Green, and Jaden Roberts. And I'm probably going, Lance Hurd, Tennessee.
Yeah, I don't think I have really any arguments there. I think that's another one that, I'm not going to sit here and act like I've watched the entirety of the SEC's offensive lines to know.
You're not Brian Baldy.
Yeah, I'm not doing a Baldy breakdown every week. But from the guys that I am at least pretty familiar with, I think I'm in agreement with that ranking.
All right, so let's flip to the other side of the ball, the defensive side of the ball. We're going to have Zach Nagy join us roughly 8:45, so 10 more minutes to hit the defensive side of the football. You've got D-line is pretty cut and dry to me in a lot of ways. Dylan Stewart's got to be right there. Yeah. Colin Simmons has got to be right there. I think Tim Keenan has to be right there if you're a ball knower, but he's not going to get all the love because his stats don't jump off the page. Sure. Christian Miller from Georgia going to be right there. You're going to get a lot of Tyreek Sapp love from Florida, the big old dude. Perfect. I was just getting a text message. So I think the defensive line, pretty fun. I'm going to go Dylan Stewart one, mm-hmm. Colin Simmons two. I'll go Christian Miller, Georgia, and Tim Keenan, Alabama as my four.
I like that as well. I'm looking here at the Phil Steele here. He doesn't have Tim Keenan in his first team, and I think I would put Tim Keenan in my first team. I agree with that. I think Tim Keenan's a good player. Doesn't get the credit he deserves.
No. We're going to ask him about that next week. How do you feel about being just always disrespected?
Forgotten.
Never brought up. All right, linebackers, you got Anthony Hill.
That's your obvious first pick.
To me, Anthony Hill, Will Weeks, and C.J. Allen are my obvious picks.
Sondre Perkins.
Yeah.
Perrine, however you say his name.
Deontay Lawson for sure is in this group.
Sure.
But, oh, goodness gracious, I think that...
Harold Perkins.
Yeah. You've got a lot of great linebackers.
Harold Perkins coming off an ACL tear, though, so I guess you got to take that into account, but I think he's going to have a good year.
Torian York from Texas A&M was a really good player last year as well. So my first four to make up my linebacker group, Anthony Hill, C.J. Allen, Will Weeks, and I think I'll go with you with Suntarian Perkins. Not Deontay Lawson.
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, I've got to knock Deontay out for Suntarian as well. I think you just have to, at this moment, still take into account the coming off of an injury, and that's got to go into your go into the rankings here. Now, he may very well prove me wrong, and I hope he does. And if we're sitting here in 6 months having a different discussion, that'd be awesome. But I'm gonna take him out of there for now.
Honorable mention: Tristan Newsom, Missouri. Sorry, that's a little Joey Van Zimmeren poison in my brain. All right, let's get to the back end. Cornerbacks.
Oh.
Cornerbacks, it's Damani 1, it's Xavien Brown 2, it's Dejon Lee 3, it's Cam Calhoun 4. Yeah. Yep, easy, done.
Damani is on the first team. Damani is a first-team cornerback. He's not getting the credit that he deserves. He's not getting the respect he deserves. Damani is a first-team cornerback. I don't know who your second team is. I like the pick here from Georgia, Dalen Everett. But Damani is a first-team guy.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going Damani one. I'm going Damani one. I'm going Jamon McCoy two as my first team. That's my unit, really. Sorry, Xavier Brown. I love you, but I'm going Jamon McCoy two. I'm going with Dalen Everett right here. My second group, Dalen Everett and Malik Muhammad, the Texas player, is my second unit, and I will put you Xavier Brown on that third team. I'll put let's go double Bama. I'll go Xavier Brown and Cam Calhoun.
Love it.
making up the third team.
I don't think it's that insane to think that. I mean, I don't know that they'll necessarily both be on the same team, but
I've got my crimson colored glasses on. But I'm comfortable
Bama could
with that.
Have. At least two guys between the three teams there at the corner position, I think is highly likely.
Now, Phil Steele, you've messed it up again with your your safety pick. He's got a bunch of and look, all these guys are quality players, but you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 corner, eight safeties, and no Bray Hubbard listed.
That's crazy.
Yikes. Yikes. Okay, yeah. So it may be Bray's not a first team preseason first teamer. He's got Michael Taffy and KJ Bolden for Georgia. I do like KJ Bolden a lot. But
I like
somewhere
Catalan too in the second team.
Yeah, I agree. Jalen Catalan. He's got Isaac Smith, Jalen Catalan, he's got David Carnwell and AJ Holsey, and then Rondon Fontenay and Keon Sapp. Now I like Fontenay. I love Sapp, but
Hubbard deserves to be at least mentioned.
Yes,
at least mentioned. He is going to fall into one of those teams, whether it's first, second, or third team. I'm not sure that he's a first team guy. You know, we've talked about him not necessarily having the like top end athleticism that you look for in some players. He's, you know, that being said, the guy makes plays, and he is going to have the stats to back it up this year. He is going to have the interceptions. He's going to have the tackles. He's going to, you know, do the things he needs to do. So, I would at least give him second team probably.
Played my first game of NCAA college football 26 yesterday. Jumping online, just trying to get a feel for it. Jumping into it, Bray Hubbard 4 interceptions for me yesterday.
Pretty dang good.
Game winning interception at the end of the half in the end zone to save points. I'm down 14-0 and I'm about to go down 21-0 and I'm using man Bray Hubbard. He's been hitting the corner, the flag route, and I sit on it. Bray Hubbard saves me some points there at the end of the half. We score two touchdowns and go for the two with 35 seconds left. So we're up 15-14, and they're flying down the field again. And Bray Hubbard says, we're sealing this win. And I'm like, yeah, you're on my first team.
I have a feeling he'll be doing a lot of that this year.
All right, so safety's for real, though, actually. I'm going to go with KJ Bolden 1. I'll go KJ Bolden 1, and I like Jalen Catalan.
I do, too.
I like, why don't we go double Bama on the second team, Keon Sapp and Bray Hubbard.
Don't hate that.
Yeah, I think that's what we'll do. And then I like Rendon Fontenay and Michael Taffy to make up my third team.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you.
Do you even want to mess with the kickers, or do you want to move into something else while we wait on?
I tell you, it's not going to be any of the Bama guys. So,
yeah, that's going to be a little scary. Now, I will point this out. Phil Steele's got his punt returners right here. Boo Carter out of Chattanooga, Tennessee. So I would like to see him, see what he's going to have. Sophomore Boo Carter out of University of Tennessee. I'm curious to see what he'll have. Now, also, I'll ask you this. Does Jalen Mbakwe at the end of the year make himself an all SEC returner?
I think he certainly could. I think that is going to be a very, very good role for him. I think he is going to get himself a lot of attention at the, you know, return specialist spot. You've seen it in his high school tape, like the elusiveness and his ability to escape and just get out of situations where it's like, how is this guy still on his feet? Is unmatched. It's off the charts. So throwing him in a situation like that where that's the name of the game as a punt returner is, you better get ready to be elusive and make some people miss and make some guys slip off you and make him miss, you know, break some tackles. Jalen Mbakwe can do that. I think he could definitely play himself into it. I'm not going to say first team, but, you know, third team or so.
So that's going to be a lot of fun next week in Atlanta. We will actually make our ballots, and I'll screenshot who I actually vote for after another 3, 4, 5 days of thinking and after a couple more days of people poisoning my mind with their own influence. But we need to take a pivot. We haven't done Know Your Enemy in a couple of weeks because we have had a bunch of recruits jump on and join us. I really appreciate Jet Zamala, J.J. Finch, and Ryel Kelly jumping on and joining us over the last couple of weeks. If you want to check out those interviews, they are all over the respective platforms. You've got it on Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Spotify, the Bama Central YouTube channel. So we appreciate those guys. But we are going to get back on track with Know Your Enemy right here, right now, with Zach Nagy, the publisher of LSU Tigers on SI. Before we do that, I want to remind you that this show is brought to you by Derek Daniel and State Farm Insurance right here in Tuscaloosa. Call Derek for all of your insurance needs, home, life, auto insurance. You can call him at 205-758-3391 or visit him. He's right upstairs from us right here in Northport, just past the Tiger Rock, just past the Rustic Rehab, up 69 North on the left right here. He's upstairs. He's probably waiting on us to finish up so he can conduct some real business talking about your home, your life, and your auto insurance at 205-758-3391. All right, let's keep it moving, and I really, really appreciate Zach Nagy jumping on and joining us, answering a DM, and trying to make us smarter on the program. We're going to do Know Your Enemy and get to know the LSU Tigers, get to know Brian Kelly, as they will be coming to Tuscaloosa in November for the annual matchup. Zach, good morning. Thank you so much for your time, and I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, doing good on this end, man. Always excited to talk some Bama football, LSU football. Obviously, we know what that matchup presents, so excited to talk about it and talk a little bit about some Tigers, man.
Absolutely. So we led the show off today doing, we're starting to figure out our preseason SEC predictions because next week we actually have to cast our ballot. And we're trying to decide how good Garrett Nussmeier will be. So obviously, really strong season last year. Kind of faded down the stretch just a hair. But what are you thinking about Garrett Nussmeier and his ability to be one of the top quarterbacks in the SEC?
Yeah, I think for Garrett, obviously, having year one under your belt is key. So now you're going back and you're able to watch tape and you're able to watch kind of the mistakes that you made and not really going to watch practice film and not going to watch this and that. So I think getting year one under your belt was critical for him. The development that he's made over the last couple of months, kind of talking with people on staff, has been significant. The development aspect of his has been sensational. This is a player that I don't want to sunshine pump either. I don't want to sit here and sound like a homer either just because I cover the Tigers. But, you know, you're looking at a guy who can make all the throws, a player who we know has the arm talent to take a jump, but it's the decision-making, right? It's utilizing your weapons and obviously threading the needle, but not testing your luck too much. So when it comes to Garrett in his development, it's about the decision-making. The arm talent's off the charts. We know that. So when I think about the SEC and I think about the signal callers in conference, I think Garrett Nussmeier, rightfully so, should be at the top, if not near the top, the top quarterbacks in the conference, a player that continues to evolve in kind of his decision-making and has the chance to be special in 2025.
I want to ask you about these wide receivers for LSU. It seems like this year's group is just a really veteran group with a lot of experience, a lot of maybe leadership there. How do you see, you know, is there one guy in this group that you expect to maybe kind of be the alpha of this unit, or are you know, maybe it's going to get spread around a little more? Is it really going to be three main guys? How do we see this wide receiver room kind of being utilized for LSU? Because it seems like maybe this year they don't have the star power name recognition that we're maybe used to.
Aaron Anderson's a star. Come on, former Bama transfer.
Sure. Yeah, look, y'all are right on the money there. Aaron Anderson is a dude. This is a guy who's your top returning wide receiver on the team, a player who's just quick and twitchy. You can get the ball to him in space, and he's fantastic. So I love what Aaron Anderson provides this team. We got to see that last season when he took that big time jump, but you can't discount the credits that they brought, the transfers that they brought in Nick Anderson and Barry and Brown. I think Nick Anderson obviously is that physical wideout that you need with the 6'4", 215, 220 frame, can go up and get the ball. But Barry and Brown to me is the X factor in this wide receiver room. I think obviously his track record shows that, and he's done that with, let's say, subpar quarterbacks at Kentucky. So I think if you pair him next to Garrett Nussmeier, it's a match made in heaven. I think he's that X factor that this team needs. I think that's a nice three-headed monster to utilize. But you can't forget Chris Hilton. You can't forget Kyle Parker, Xavion Thomas, et cetera. you probably have 6 to 7 wide receivers that could come in and produce if need be. It's just trying to find that clear-cut three-man rotation to get on the field in the first quarter to start it off. So, yeah, the wide receiver room is generating buzz as it should be. But when you're looking at that clear-cut alpha, I'm hoping that it could be an Aaron Anderson, but I'm hoping it can be Berrien Brown too. I think Berrien Brown is an absolute stud. And you pair him with Nussmeier, it's a nice match.
We're hanging out talking to Zach Nagy. He is the publisher for LSU Tigers on SI. You can follow him at ZNagy20 on the Twitter machine, and we hope that you will for all of his coverage of LSU. Joining us today, very, very gracious for that. I want to go right to the season opener. LSU, over the last handful of years, struggled a little bit in these season openers, these marquee games. How much pressure do you feel like Brian Kelly is feeling for this Clemson game? And really, what is the vibe around the program with this massive season opener against the other Tigers?
Yeah, I think struggle is kind of an understatement when you're talking about this team and season openers, man. Obviously, Brian Kelly has been unable to get over the hump in week one since he's been to Baton Rouge. We see that, the proof's in the product there. And now this year, it's really about taking that next step and starting the season off on the right foot. And it starts with Clemson at kind of their version of Death Valley. So it's an exciting one, one that this team is not taking lightly. Brian Kelly said that this team's putting 1-0 on the walls in the workout room, and that's something that he hasn't done in the past. So they're placing a big-time emphasis on really starting off 1-0 and continuing to place a big-time focus on this game against Clemson, because if you start off 0-1, man, you're putting yourself up against a wall to make the college football playoff. I mean, your back's against the wall. We know what the SEC brings. I mean, all three of us here cover the SEC, so we know what the conference presents. So getting off to a 1-0 start, obviously, is the most important thing this season, and they've placed an emphasis on that this offseason, whether it's talking about it in the locker room, putting 1-0 on the workout walls, like I said a second ago. So, yeah. It's important. Brian Kelly knows it. He's feeling the heat, like you alluded to a second ago, too. He knows that they got to go out and get a win here. It's a big-time season in Baton Rouge. I'll tell you that much. Brian Kelly knows that.
Yeah, I mean, you said it right there. Brian Kelly feeling the heat this season. The seat starting to warm up a little bit there for him. What would you say is the floor for him this season? You know, what is his floor as far as a successful year for the LSU Tigers? What is that going to look like this year?
Yeah, a successful year is making the college football playoff. You have to make the college football playoff. There's no other way to kind of break down this team, this roster, and this program. It is strictly a college football playoff or bust year when it comes to LSU. And I think everybody knows that. Again, I'm kind of throwing out that casual take, right? Everybody knows Brian Kelly going into year four, not being able to get over that hump. It's important heading into this year. So you got to go 10-2. We know that if you go 10-2 in the SEC, you're virtually locked in. You can't have an 8-4 year. 9-3 would be a kind of a lost year, in my opinion, because you don't know what could happen when it comes to the college football playoff committee and getting into that kind of top 12. So for me, you got to go 10-2. You got to make the college football playoff. This program knows it. The players know it. Speaking to a couple of the guys, they know that the standard in Baton Rouge is competing for a national championship, and they haven't gotten to do that just yet. During the Brian Kelly era. So if you're asking me personally, man, it's strictly business in that locker room. It's all about getting to 10-2 and punching your ticket to that college football playoff.
Well, Zach, you make that 10-2 as kind of a baseline, but I'm looking at this road schedule. It is nasty. It is incredibly nasty. You're at Clemson right off the bat. We already talked about that. You go to Ole Miss. You come to Alabama right here on November 8th. Then you're finishing the year out there at Oklahoma. Four really nasty road games. How about five with Vanderbilt at Vanderbilt, Nashville? The home schedule's, you know, not as good. Not very easy either. Bringing in South Carolina. You bring in Texas A&M, and oh, I had one more when it was written down. Oh, Florida right off the bat to open the SEC season. So it's not an easy schedule if 10-2 is basically the baseline.
It's not, and I think you're going to learn a lot about this team in September. You obviously, weeks 1-5 as a whole are ridiculous. I mean, you have Clemson, Florida, Ole Miss. I mean, those three games, just three of your first five games are wake-up calls in themselves, and so it's going to be an exciting stretch, but there's a reason why Brian Kelly and his coaching staff went out and got the number one transfer portal class in the country with Patrick Payton, Jack Pyburn, et cetera, on the defensive side of the ball. I think a lot of people want to talk about Nussmeier and the wide receivers, as they should. Those are the headliners. But, man, that the kind of reconstruction of the defense, which is what they needed to do. We all know that, by the way. So it's been a struggle. We get that. But to go out and really hit the portal with force and go and get some instant impact guys was of the utmost importance. You went and got guys that are experienced so that when you play against the Clemsons of the world, the Ole Misses of the world, obviously the Floridas of the world, you want to be well prepared and have guys that have been there and done that. And LSU crushed the portal. You have a struggle, not a struggle, but kind of a challenging stretch to open the year. And you got some guys that are prepared for that challenge.
You mentioned the transfer portal class that LSU had, obviously. Yeah, you said right there, it was the best in the country. And I'm looking here at the, you know, the list of the guys here. You got Jack Pyburn, Patrick Payton that you mentioned, AJ Halsey. Which of these guys, if you had to narrow one down on the defensive side here, would be maybe the most impactful transfer that's going to come in this season, or that is coming in this season?
For me, I'm circling Mansoor Delane, the Virginia Tech cornerback transfer. On the defensive side of the ball, I think this is a guy who needs to make a big-time impact in the defensive backfield. It's been a position group of weakness for this team over the last couple of years. You know your second level is going to be held down by Whit Weeks, Devon Keyes, and Harold Perkins kind of holding it down that second level right there. Up front, you know that you have an embarrassment of riches on the edge with Gabe Relaford, Patrick Payton, Jack Pyburn. So when you're talking about guys that need to step up and need to make an impact, it's Mansoor Delane at the cornerback position, man. He is a true Swiss Army knife in the secondary. He can play a bunch of different positions. Secondary coach Corey Raymond penciled Mansoor Delane as his true guy that he wanted to go out and get and bring to Baton Rouge. He was generating NFL buzz after a big-time year in the ACC with Virginia Tech. But once he entered the portal, LSU knew that they needed to get him to campus. Like I said, circled him and made sure to get him to campus. So when I'm thinking about that guy who must make an impact in 2025 through the transfer portal class, Mansoor Delane's the one that I'm circling and saying, yeah, he needs to be a dude for this program in 2025.
Speaking of other guys that seemingly need to make an impact on LSU's defense this year, a name I imagine a lot of people would throw out is Harold Perkins. Coming off an ACL tear, what is the kind of general consensus about his health? Is he ready? Is he going to be ready to go for the start of the season? What is the vibe in Baton Rouge there?
Yeah, so I was told that Harold Perkins was 100% cleared for full activity on June 1st. So it gives him the opportunity to be prepared for summer workouts, conditioning, kind of get right with the program and start to generate that kind of camaraderie within the locker room, that team chemistry with such a new-look defense. So Harold Perkins is fully healthy. He's ready to rock and roll. Now it's about finding that true position, right? We know he's played that C-ball, get-ball type of guy on defense. He wreaks havoc in the backfield, but now he's going to be playing the star position in a 4-2-5 defense. He's going to be a guy who's utilized in a myriad of ways. And now it's really about kind of seeing how it works. We haven't had the opportunity to see that. It was a small sample size in 2024 prior to that knee injury. And now Blake Baker, the defensive coordinator, returns for year two in the program, wants to implement that scheme once again. And I think Harold Perkins has the chance to be special. It's just about seeing how he gels with the other people and how he can drop back in coverage and utilize that fluidity that he has.
We're hanging out with Zach Nagy right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central doing Know Your Enemy, the LSU Tigers. You guys can follow Zach Nagy at ZNagy20 for all of his great coverage of the Tigers, all the athletic programs down there in Baton Rouge. Zach, we've hit a lot of the strengths and a lot of the things to be excited about for LSU, but let's look at it through the other lens. If it's not a 10-2 seasons, if it's closer to an 8-4, if it's not up to snuff in Baton Rouge, what will be the reason? Why could it go wrong for LSU this year?
The quick answer, just right off the bat in my head, is the offensive line. You're replacing four starters from last year. Emory Jones, Will Campbell, Garrett Dellinger, and Miles Frazier are all off to the NFL. They all heard their names called in the 2025 NFL draft. So you're replacing four starters up front. And the one returning piece that you're bringing back was the weakest link in 2024 in DJ Chester. So this team's going to go as far as the offensive line allows them. Obviously, we know Garrett Nussmeier can make the plays, but he needs time to make those plays, man. So, you know, you gotta have an emphasis on the offensive line. I think this team goes as far as the O-line allows them to. You've seen a nice rotation, a nice blend so far with youngsters stepping up to the plate, newcomers through the transfer portal and Josh Thompson and Braylon Moore. But truly, when I look at this team and if they can get to that 10-2 side of things and punch a ticket to the college football playoff, it's going to be because that offensive line stepped up and made an impact and allowed this offense to be dynamic. You can't be one-dimensional like you were last year. All you did was pass the ball, really. You weren't as effective in the run game. So if you can allow the offensive line to be successful, open up the rushing attack, I think you're going to be in a really good spot in 2025, and that's going to be what really separates the men from the boys in the trenches.
I want to ask you about an LSU tradition that I'm looking through the LSU roster and not seeing. I'm seeing Harold Perkins obviously wearing number 7, but number 18 not yet listed. Has Brian Kelly discontinued this tradition, or do you have, or is it going to be named later? And if it is going to be named later, who do you think is going to be the LSU player to bestow that honor?
Yeah, that's a great question. This team is, they do it during fall camp, so you'll find out if they add another 7 to the mix. And then find out who number 18 is during fall camp. That's something that they like to do towards the back end of that slate. So you'll find out kind of mid to late August who number 18 and number 7 are going to be. And for me, look, I'm not sure if this is a casual take. I'm not sure what the kind of buzz is on number 18. But boy, would I like to see Garrett Nussmeier wear that number. This is a guy who's a fifth-year senior, patiently waited for his time, has commanded the locker room. This is a leader. And when you look at number 18s in the past, these are leaders who not just lead by example, but lead by their voice as well. So when I look at a guy who I want to see wear number 18, it's Nussmeier. This is a guy who commands the locker room when he walks in it, is well-respected by his peers. So I would love to see Nussmeier wear that jersey number, and I would love to see that. I'll leave it at that. I would love to see him.
Would NIL complicate that at all since he's already been wearing 13? I'm just – that's an outside dumb take, but I'm just asking if he's already, you know, locked in with 13, making money off jersey sales, or do you think that would double it up? You're selling 13s and 18s.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, and I think that's one that you got to talk to, what, the Nikes of the world and see what they have to say about that. But, yeah, I think that's a great question. I think it certainly could. I think when you have your returning signal caller coming back, this is a guy who generates a ton of buzz when it comes to jersey sales and NIL deals, et cetera. So I think that's a valid question, of course. But then, like you said, looking at the other picture, your quarterback wearing number 18, that prestigious number, I think that could also generate a ton of buzz and generate a ton of sales and some NIL deals as well. So, yeah, I think you can look at it on both shoulders and how that would work. So, yeah, I think that's a million-dollar question as well.
I want to stick with talking about this LSU offense and move to the running back position. You bring back what me and Joe think is probably one of the most talented backs in the SEC in Caden Durham. And I just want to ask you about what your expectations are for him this season. Where do you see him taking this team? Where do you see him going kind of statistically? How do you see his season playing out?
Yeah, again, this kind of comes back to the offensive line question, right? I mean, if your offensive line allows him to be successful, he'll be successful. When I look at Caden Durham, though, I mean, true freshman, year one, 1,000 all-purpose yards. This is a guy who was in the conversation of Leonard Fournette when it came to that production in year one. And so when I look at Caden Durham, like you said, yeah, one of the top running backs in the SEC. And I'm trying not to be biased. I'm trying not to be a homer. So I'm trying to implement both sides here when it comes to kind of this LSU team and this LSU roster. But I think it goes without saying that Caden Durham is one of the top running backs in the SEC and one of the top returning running backs in the country. He showcased that in year one. I mean, he's a sensational player. And again, when I look at him in this year, I think that he's a 1,000-yard rusher if all things go accordingly, over a handful of touchdowns. If you're asking for a full projection of what he can do on this team, and Caden Durham's going to be the workhorse and get a majority of the production. But Caleb Jackson is returning for another season in Baton Rouge, and I think that gives you a nice 1-2 punch in the backfield. Caleb Jackson's a guy who was underwhelming in 2024, didn't live up to the hype that there was during the offseason, really struggled time and time again with his vision on the field, man. He could not find the lanes. He could not find the holes to run through, and it showed in his production. So I think this year he has a bounce-back year. I think Caleb Jackson has the chance to be special, but obviously all things start with Caden Durham, like you said, and I think he's going to be a true X factor on this offense. When you look at it, I said Barry and Brown's an X factor, but Caden Durham obviously is that clear-cut weapon that you need to utilize as well, too. So, yeah, a special, special player and in store for a big time year if all things go accordingly.
We're hanging out with Zach Nagy of LSU Tigers on SI. Zach, we usually finish up this segment by running through the schedule, and I know it's July, so we're not going to lock you into wins and losses and hold your feet to the fire. But usually at this point, we just kind of run through and do quick win, loss, win, loss. You game to run through these 12 and see where we have the LSU?
Oh, absolutely, man. Let's do it.
All right, so we'll go Zach, Mason, and myself, just a little quick trio. We're opening up at Clemson Saturday, August 30th, right there, 7:30 Eastern on ABC. Huge, huge game, Zach. How do you think it falls for the Tigers?
Yeah, I think that's just the one where everybody's going to want to sit back and know what the result's going to be prior to it. LSU's proven in the past that they can't win those games. Earlier or during the segment, I kind of talked about the emphasis that Brian Kelly's placing on this game and writing things on the walls in the locker room and in the strength and conditioning rooms and whatnot. So I think that's one of, if not the biggest games of Brian Kelly's career in week one. You got to go there and show out. You got to show up and show out. I think they win it. I know, again, I'm going to sound like a homer, and people are probably going to be rolling their eyes and saying, of course he says LSU's going to win that game. But for me, with the number one transfer portal class, a bunch of newcomers, this revamped defense paired with Nussmeier being back and a bunch of weapons on the outside, I think I have to ride with the Tigers in this one just because the emphasis on this one is so significant. So I think they start out 1-0 like they're writing on the walls in the locker room. I'll give it to LSU on that one.
I'm going to have to take Clemson.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. That's such a flip, a huge coin flip.
I only take Clemson just because of exactly what you just said there, Nack. LSU has proven at this point they can't win that week one game. And until they prove it, that they can win it, I got to ride with them losing in that week one game.
And that's completely, by the way, valid. I hope everybody understands that too. Like that is a true take. And when it comes down to it in August, late August, and I'm kind of placing that prediction, I very well could be utilizing that exact same logic. It's fair. It's valid. And they haven't been able to get over the hump in week one. So we're what, seven weeks out for right now. So I'm sitting back and riding with LSU now, but that prediction could very well change when it comes down to it.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Mason there as well, just because the home factor, the home field factor, and you jack up. Maybe LSU is going to be too geared up for it, and kind of fall into some anxiety, fall into some mistakes. I'm going to take Clemson into like a 1-point game. It's like so close. I think we can all maybe skip the second week. Louisiana Tech, big old win for LSU, all three of us. So we're 1-1 or 2-0, and then we got Florida coming to town. Humongous rivalry game. But what a way to start the SEC schedule, bringing the Florida Gators into Baton Rouge.
Yeah, again, I mean, DJ Lagway to me is going to be a true mystery this year. We saw what he could do last year, but can he continue to carry that momentum into year two? A fantastic player. I think he's going to be a sensational player this year. For LSU, obviously, the home field advantage, like you were talking about, is key. Bouncing back from last year is crucial. Again, got to give LSU the win in that one. I think they can make that happen in Tiger Stadium. So for me, going to ride with LSU on that one.
Yeah, I'm going to ride with LSU as well. I think that home field advantage is going to be big there.
Yeah, make it three. So we're moving on. We've won the SEC opener. I guess we can also skip Southeastern Louisiana Lions. Good luck, Lions, but it's going to probably be ugly for you. So LSU wins again. We will move to Saturday, September 27th at Ole Miss, your second big road game. I mean, the road schedule is nasty. You're at Ole Miss on the 27th, either going to be, you know, that mid-afternoon or evening window. Zach, how are we feeling about going and taking on the fighting Lane Kiffins?
Yeah, that's a team that has a bunch of kind of question marks on it right now. It's a new look defensive backfield. The post Jackson Dart era, can Austin Simmons kind of carry that torch? Does he have the weapons to do so? Caden Lee is a fantastic wideout, but to me, I don't think they have enough versatility and enough weapons to take down LSU. I think it's a big time game, obviously going on the road and whatnot, but for LSU, I think that they have too many weapons offensively, and there's too many question marks with Ole Miss's secondary. For me, I think LSU wins that one. For me, if we're counting how I'm at right now, I'm at 5-0. It's going to change quickly, trust me. But for right now, I think that they can beat Ole Miss and get over the hump in that one.
I'm in agreement. I'm going to roll with LSU in this one.
Yeah, I am as well. So I've got it at 4-1. Zach's got it at 5-0. Zach, don't worry. You're not being that homer. I think that first game is a humongous coin flip. I think you're looking at a pretty strong start for LSU either way. So you get an off week, October 4th. Everybody's celebrating my birthday on the 6th, so that's great. Then you stay home the next week. Humongous game, South Carolina.
You could say this about any team, but like you know what I'm trying to say here. Like that side, the fate of this LSU team. It's just
that's what I was trying to get at yesterday when we're debating like order of finishes. Mm-hmm. Schedule balance across the 16. LSU only gets Vanderbilt. They don't get, you know, Texas's Kentucky and Mississippi State as well. The only gimme game in the league is that Vanderbilt game, and I don't even know if that's a gimme. Like, it is brutal. Their SEC schedule, I mean, just off rip, Florida, Ole Miss, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, A&M, Alabama. Okay, maybe Arkansas is another gimme game. Yeah. And then Oklahoma. And it is just one after the other.
Yeah. It's a tough schedule. I would be – if LSU comes out 10-2 schedule, the fans need to be Sally with a parade and them on their shoulders. but they will not. They'll still be angry that they lost two games and they, you know, probably aren't winning a national title or whatever it is.
Well, there we go. There's Know Your Enemy. We did SEC preseason predictions. All preseason predictions are before that, so I appreciate Mason getting us ready for that. We're going to get out of here for the day. We will hear from you guys, or we'll go to you guys on Monday in Atlanta. Theo and I will be there. We're going to have a lot of fun next week at SEC Media Days. We want to encourage you to listen to All Things Bama. Well, I think we're about to record an episode of All Things Bama, maybe talk a little about Najee Harris and much, much more. A recruiting news.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.
Even though severe cases can be rare, respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, is still the leading cause of hospitalization in babies under one. RSV often begins like a cold or the flu, but can quickly spread to your baby's lungs. Ask your doctor about preventative antibodies for your baby this season, and visit protectagainstrsv.com. The information presented is for general educational purposes only. Please ask your healthcare provider about any questions regarding your health or your baby's health.